Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. We're talking about faith today. If you think I can finish in 27 minutes, you got a lot of faith. I don't have that faith, but I'm glad you do. Because I actually only have 20 minutes before we need to open up these altars. But we preach a lot on faith at Living Way, and I don't think you can preach too much faith. And I never want to preach faith to inspire without faith to transform. Because inspiration fades. But transformation from the inside out, it lasts. Praise God. So we're kicking off a brand new series called Faith Don't Flinch. For the next 4 weeks, we will dive into this starting today, and we will unwrap what real faith looks like. Not this faith that we see on social media, real faith. Turn to your neighbor and tell them real faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. We're going to read in the ESV. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance. Somebody say endurance. See, some of us, it wasn't that our faith wasn't strong. It's what I just talked about. Our faith wasn't strong for long. A lot of times we have strong faith on Sunday, but it fades before Monday ever shows up. Faith is an endurance thing. For you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, there was no translation that says flinch, but here is the greatest verse that kind of illustrates this whole thought. But if he shrinks back, this is God talking, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink. Praise God. You are not those who shrink back or flinch. We are not those who shrink back and are destroyed. But of those who have faith and has their soul, it's time, full, get on board, get out the way, or get out the way, or get run over in Jesus' name. We got a faith train that's coming, and we want you on board with us. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't flinch. Oh, come on, say it with some meaning. Don't flinch. And for those of you men that are saying, well, I just don't get emotional in church, that's a problem, because 3 weeks from yesterday, you'll be getting emotional over a football team that don't care about you. Listen, I get animated watching the Cowboys and the Texans and the Spurs. I get animated during sports, but I don't get as animated as I do about God, praise God. So one more time, turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't flinch. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Some of your kids started school on August 4th. I'm just waiting for them to start school in July. It keeps getting sooner and sooner. And we are sending our kids, our young people, we're sending them into a lion's den. And I know no one likes to talk about that. And I am not I'm not going to tell you that the way I did it's the only way to do it, because my family represents every conceivable way you can school there is. I'm a product of private school. Pastor Mandy and Alyssa are products of public school. Tyler and Jaden, half private, some homeschool. So we've done it all. So there's no right or wrong way. There's only God's way for you and your family. But I do know this, that if I was sending my kids out of my house to a school, I don't care if it's private or public, because I got news for you. Some of the kids they kick out of public school because they're so bad end up in private school. I went to private school, and we had some of the most messed up kids in South Texas because it was a ministry, and they're trying to save them. And I'm like, listen, while you're trying to save them, they're trying to sell me ecstasy. I just need you to know that. Come on now, this is the reality. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that so that we build in our young people and within us faith that when our young people leave our home on Monday to get on that bus, or you drop them off at school, you know that there is a faith in Jesus that when it is tested And when it is come against, and when there is a combative spirit against it, that there is a faith that does not flinch, but that stands toe-to-toe with the adversary and says, I've got a God that I know can, and I've got a God that I know will get me through whatever I am facing. It's the only way. Now, I never sent my kids off to school like that, because they didn't go to public school, but they went to a private school. But I'm going to tell you, when I started pleading the blood of Jesus for real, is when they started driving. Because I knew that they weren't going to drive great. I knew that one of them was going to drive fast. And then I knew that they were going to go to places in that car that they probably should not go to. So every time that they would leave the house, I would pray. I would pray that the Jesus that I know is in them would be big and bold and strong. I would pray that the faith that I know that they have received would not be put on the back shelf or the back corner of their mind, but that they would live a life of faith. And did they make mistakes? Of course they did. We all make mistakes. But I am here to tell you, we've got to learn from our mistakes, and we've got to develop a faith that does not flinch. When we look at that word flinch defined, it means to draw back. Everybody say, don't go back. Means to draw back or to shrink from three scenarios: from that which is dangerous, that which is difficult, or that which is unpleasant. Now, some of us are dealing with dangerous situations, dangerous to your physical well-being or dangerous to your spiritual well-being. Then others of us today, it's not a dangerous situation as in a life or death situation, but it is a difficult situation. How many of you are facing a difficult situation back at home, at your job? Come on, raise your hands. Don't be shy. You're facing difficulties. I'll raise both of my hands. I'm facing some difficulties in my life. And then there are other people that are facing unpleasant things. Now, let me just tell you, if you shrink back from what is unpleasant, you'll never make it to what is difficult. And if you turn tail and run at what is difficult, you will never be able to overcome the dangerous. They are listed in preferential order by what is most important. And so you better be able to deal with what is unpleasant so that you can deal with what is difficult, so that when the dangerous thing shows up, you know how to handle that. Let me just take it to David and describe his job as a shepherd. Before he was king and before he got to Goliath, he was on the backside of nowhere watching some sheep. He was watching those sheep, and this was not like I do my ranch and my farming. It is not something where I go out in the morning and I throw them some feed and hay and I make sure they have water, and then I go get to sit in my air-conditioned office or I get to go back in my air-conditioned house. That's not how it was. David, literally, because this is what a shepherd does, he lived with the sheep. So he was out in the elements. When they were hot, he was hot. When they were cold, he was cold. He had to make sure that they were taken care of. If they got hurt, he had to mend them. He had to put ointment on them. If they broke a leg, he had to carry them. All of these things. And so this was an unpleasant experience. Pastor Mandy can tell you that when I worked out at the barn for a long time, when I walk in the house, she doesn't run up, throw her arms around me, and give me a big hug and kiss. Why? Because I smell like where I've been. It's unpleasant. Some of us shrink back and draw back in faith, and we flinch because life that we are called to is unpleasant. But remember this, David was called to serve in unpleasant places. Some of us want life to be perfect, and we don't want our life upset because of unpleasant things. Could it be that the devil is not trying to make your life unpleasant? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Could it be that God has called you to unpleasant situations so that you can make those situations and infuse them with faith and infuse them with Jesus? I am here to tell you, I was a C student all of my life. I did not like school. The work got into my social calendar at school. Didn't like it. It was unpleasant. For all the junior hires and high school that have been dreading the first day of school, I know it's unpleasant. I know you'd rather be at home playing Xbox. I know you'd rather be at home hanging out. But can I tell you that this is not just a place that your parents are sending you or the government requires you to go to? Could it be that God has literally picked you you up out of millions of kids and put you on that junior high campus or high school campus in an unpleasant situation like Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones, knowing if I can get the Jesus that is in that young person on that campus, their faith, praise God, can change lives, that which is unpleasant. Then we look at difficulties. There's a lot of memes that go around and they're making fun of fake faith people, and it says, it's of a man praying, and he says, God, why do you give me your toughest battles? And then God talks back and he's like, somebody, you know, mean to you on Facebook is not a tough battle. Me, you going to church 3 or 4 times a month is not a tough battle. You live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, even with all of our problems. If you showed up in a car today and slept with a roof over your head last night and you're going to eat food after church today, you are better than about 98% of the world. Difficulty does not mean impossible. Difficulty means this is a place for me to dig in faith, understanding the word of God, not just hearing it, but saying it, doing it, obeying it, and difficulties become very possible when you have faith that will not draw back, shrink back, or flinch. But then we do talk about the dangerous. Can I just say this as point blank as I can? Most of us never move to dangerous things. We never, maybe it's not that we don't face dangerous things. Most of us never have a faith that can accomplish or defeat what is dangerous, because our faith is still being used on unpleasant situations or difficult situations. Can I just tell you that as I grew and God promoted me and God anointed me, that the dangerous situations that God has allowed me to be put in have grown? And here's the thing. I still, at 43, been living and walking with God for 20 years, I still don't enjoy the dangerous situations. But I know if I show up that those dangerous situations are not going to take me out. But I serve a God that if I don't flinch, I will see his promises prevail. To draw back or shrink from that which is dangerous, difficult, or unpleasant. What are you ignoring or avoiding, church, in your life that is difficult, dangerous, or unpleasant? I read a book last year called Eat That Frog. It's about procrastination. I owned the book for 2 years on procrastination before I read it. Some of you will get that a little later. It's not even that tough of a read. It's a very thin book, and I ended up reading in just a few days. But one of the things that it taught me is that when you are faced with something that is unpleasant or something that is difficult on your to-do list, or if you have 10 things that you have to do on Monday and there's one of them that you are dreading, don't push it off till the end or move it to Tuesday. You do the most difficult thing in front of you first. And once you do that thing first, everything else becomes easier. Can I just tell you that when God does something great in your life, he is going to put you in dangerous and difficult situations. But one of the greatest things that you can count on is that when you get on the other side of dangerous and when you get on the other side of difficult and you don't allow yourself to shrink back or draw back in faith and you say, no matter what it is, God, I'm your man, I'm your woman, and I'm going to get this job done, and your power working through me, we're going to overcome this. Can I tell you, once you've defeated cancer, everything else seems easy. Once you have seen God deliver you, everything else seems easy. Once you've come through the Red Sea, Israel, everything else seems easy. And so that is why I don't avoid, and we should not ignore the dangerous and the difficult. We should run headlong against them. One of the greatest things about David and his fight with Goliath is the Bible says that while everybody else was hiding, when it was come time for David to fight Goliath, the Bible says he ran down into the valley. The only reason you run is because you know that this is about to happen. He wasn't hiding. He wasn't cowering in the corner. He said, I am the man. This is my time. It's not time to flinch. It's not time to cower. It's not time to hide. Do I think I can do it? I know I can't do it, but I serve a God that lives on the inside of me, and I've got a roaring lion that I'm about to let loose. And if I can borrow it from a few Wednesday nights ago, you've got to let the lion loose. We keep avoiding the giants and we flinch at the thought of having to fight them. And let me just remind you that King David's life reminds all of us that sometimes the giants we face are not 9 feet tall and cussing us out. Sometimes the giants we face are 5'2" and 110 pounds taking a bath in the apartment across the street. Isn't it amazing that he could kill the 9-foot giant, but he slept with the 5-foot giant? Oh, is that too much on a Sunday? Isn't it amazing that when everybody was watching, he could sling a stone, one stone into the forehead of the biggest giant that had ever come against Israel, and he fell flat, and he cut off his head, and he carried his head, not taxidermy, dripping with gore and blood as a testament of the kind of faith he has, but in the private moments of his life, and it was just him and God, there was a 5-foot giant. See, sometimes it's not the big bad wolf. It's the wolf inside of you. It's the wolf that nobody knows about. It's that addiction that you can't quite kick. It's the private sin, the secret sin that no one knows about. But I want to encourage you, don't flinch. The second definition of flinch is to shrink under pain. How many of you have ever been hurt, whether it was a broken bone or in a car accident? How many of you have ever just stubbed your toe? And when you stub your toe or you hit your knee, you start. That's wincing. That is recoil. That is shrinking back in the face of pain. For those of you who don't know this story, 25 years ago, I was kicked in the face by a horse. And some of you are like, oh, that explains a lot. 39 stitches above my eye, under my eye, in and on my nose, in and on my mouth. 39 stitches later, and I'm as good as brand new. No double vision, no loss of vision, no fractures, nothing like that. God had his hand on me, praise God. It happened around 3 p.m. on a Wednesday night. And I headed over to Northeast Baptist, and Pastor Becky drove me over there, and my face, this side of my face was just hanging off, and we didn't know what was going on. I couldn't see out of this eye at the time because there was so much blood and so much swelling. And I sat over at Northeast Baptist from about 4 p.m. And at 6:30, Pastor Becky's like, I'm going to church. I was like, what? She's like, I can't stitch you up. You'll be fine. And her and my dad come walking back in around 10 o'clock that night. I still haven't been stitched up. I'm just, every time they're about to call me, some gunshot victim or stab victim came in. I was like, the devil is a liar. Y'all better get me stitched up. Finally, about 11:30, they take me back. They clean me up. And they're like, oh, we're going to have to stitch you up. I was like, that's fine. I just need you to get me stitched up so I can get on my way. And my dad was standing there. My mom was standing there. I guess I was 19 years old at the time, maybe 18 years old at the time. And the doctor turns to both of them and he says, only one of you can stay in. And in my mind, I'm like, it needs to be mom. Mom, you need to stay in here. We don't need dad in here. We need mom in here. How many of you are still mama's boys? I was a mama boy then. I'm still a mama's boy. And I had heard that in certain medical situations that Bishop passes out. And that's the last thing I need is him to pass out. And so they bring all of the stuff in, the sutures, the needles, the scissors, and they bring in all of these big old syringes. And he's like, we got to give you 4 shots. We got to give you one right here in the corner of your eye. We got to give you one here in the nasal cavity, then one in your nose, and then one in your mouth. And I said, okay, that's fine. The one in the eye is the one I was worried about. And he said, now listen, we need you to take your arms and put them through the hospital bed, through those bars, because the first thing you want to do is when the needle's coming at you, you want to swat at it. And you could do more damage swatting at a needle that's in your eye than what has already happened to you. I said, I don't care what you do as long as you do it. I want to be numbed up when you stitch me up. Put both arms through. And the moment, Pastor Becky's already left, the moment he sticks that first needle in this eye, I tense up and I start shaking. And Bishop's like, oh, I can't handle this. And he just left. He just walked out. So when I say that Jesus will never leave you, in that moment, he was a father to the fatherless. But when we are in pain, the first thing we want to do let me rephrase this. Most of us, the first thing we want to do is we step back and we close everybody off. Most of us react that way. Some of you want to post it on social media so you can get a bunch of sympathy. I don't need your sympathy. I need your prayers. I need your faith. I need your power. Your sympathy doesn't do. I always love it when something happens on the football field or basketball and the announcers say, we're sending our good thoughts and good vibes. Your good vibes are not helping at all. I need faith. But in that moment of pain, that's why a church family is so important. Because it's not if you go through pain, it's when you go through pain. And when you go through pain, you need to have a community like this that when you're trying to go back, they're like, no, we're keeping you here. We're keeping you positioned. We're keeping you in the altar. We're going to keep you prayed up. We're going to keep you focused. In the room today, there are people that are going through pain right now. And in this moment, you have drawn back. You flinched. Can I encourage you? Don't let the devil see you flinch. When you flinch, it's the only way he knows it's working. Some of us flinch physically. We literally quit coming to church. We literally go dark way. We're off everything. Nobody can get a hold of us. We don't answer texts. But here's another way that we react to pain and we shrink back. We let our mouth start talking about how God didn't do. We start talking about how it hasn't happened. And we let a lack of faith be the flinch in our lives. The third definition is to draw back or to withdraw from. What some would call backsliding, I call flinching. The word backsliding as we know it is not in the Bible. However, Hebrews 10 verse 34, therefore do not throw away your confidence. That's backsliding. Because backsliding doesn't mean you're back addicted to meth. Backsliding just means you're not as close to Jesus as you were. You were here, and now you're here. Nobody wants to hear that this morning. That's backsliding. You used to pray every day and spend time in your word every day, and now it's every other day. That's backsliding. You used to go to church and be committed and no longer are. That's backsliding. You used to serve, but now you just need me time. You don't need me time. You need he time. That's backsliding. It's time that we return to our first love. Stop flinching. You watch the news and flinch. You go to work and flinch. The enemy whispers in your ear and you flinch. No more flinching because, listen, these are just unpleasant situations. These are just difficult situations, but there are dangerous things that God is wanting to take you through and to use you to bring down generational giants. But he cannot do that until you have learned in the face of adversity, I will not flinch, but I'll faith it, praise God. Stand on your feet. Tyler, thank you for playing me out. I had no idea it was already this time. Man, I flinched. I grew up with a bigger brother. And I remember when we would fight, and then Pastor Becky would separate us, and she'd turn her back. You know when he quit doing this? When I got bigger and stronger than him. Now he does a lot of this, but not as much of this. The reason you flinch is because you discount not your power, God's power. Because when you know he's stronger than your adversary, doesn't matter what the adversary does, you don't flinch. Doesn't matter what the adversary says, you don't flinch. Not casting away your confidence, your faith, holding on to it. The devil can't take your confidence. You gotta let it go. I end with this. There's a very famous, for those of you that were basketball fans in the late 90s, early 2000s, there's a great video of Kobe Bryant. And I forgot who was throwing the ball in, but he was standing. It was Barnes. I think someone said Barnes. That's right, it was. It was Barnes, Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes has the basketball. Kobe's standing. And they say that the angles on TV are a little off. It doesn't matter because the video is so cold. Kobe's standing there looking right at him, and he's got that ball in a pressured time of the game. And Barnes takes that ball and acts like he's going to throw it, I mean, inches away from Kobe's face. Kobe never blinks an eye. Just stands there. And I wonder how many times the devil didn't even have to attack you. He just had to act like he was going to attack you. And you flinched. He just said, hey, next week, you're mine. And you didn't even show up to the fight. He threatened to take you after school out in the back of the school. You didn't even show up. How many times has the devil, he's faked you out. He's used people. He's used circumstance. Hasn't even touched you. He just whispered to you and you flinched. He did something around you to upset the environment you're in and you flinched. The day is coming, church. The day is coming where it's not going to be mean people on social media. It's not going to be people that gossip about you at work. It's going to be real dangerous attacks. I don't want to bring the mood down in the room, but I do want to drive this point home. Columbine High School back in the 90s. That demon-possessed shooter goes into that school. First time we had ever seen anything on that level in our nation. And most of the time, very indiscriminately, they're just shooting and killing people. But this time, he walks in rooms and he starts asking point blank, are you a Christian? Are you a Jesus follower? I would like to tell you that at 18 years of age, my senior year of high school, that I would have rolled out from behind the desk and said, I'm a Christian, take your best shot. No weapon formed against me will prosper. But I think at 18, I would have said anything in that moment to get him out of my face with that gun. But there was a young lady that day that never flinched. That she said, I am a follower of Jesus. There was a young lady that day that I'd like to tell you the end of that story was that he shot at her and she was miraculously saved. But the reality of that story is he did shoot at her and she was miraculously saved. But instead of being saved on this earth, she was saved in heaven. And I don't even know if she was a senior in high school or a sophomore. I just know that a teenage young lady in the face of fear and uncertainty and the weapon, she didn't flinch. I don't know what 2025 and 2026 holds for you. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what the enemy is speaking and whispering into your spirit and into your private time and when no one's there. Gia, I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'm just telling you, don't flinch. I'm telling you right now to not let the enemy in. I'm telling you to not move your feet. Be steadfast. Do not throw away your confidence. There is a great reward. The text that we've studied today says that great reward is salvation for eternity. But that great reward is not just then. There is something that God will do now. The peace that passes all understanding. I don't know what brings Amaris's daughter to this altar today, but she comes without her mama. Her mama's here somewhere, but here she stands. You say, what could that little girl need from Jesus? I don't know what she needs from Jesus, but if she's here in this altar, God is going to raise her up and a faith in her. And let me tell you something. I wish I learned to not flinch when I was 8, 9 years old. And if you're in this building today and you've got a bad doctor's report, don't flinch. If your husband has signed the divorce papers and said it's over, your life is not over, don't flinch. If your kids fought you tooth and nail on the way to church today, or you don't even know where they are today, don't flinch. I am here to tell you, if your mind is going crazy and depression has tried to creep in and suicidal thoughts have shown up, don't flinch. Keep fighting. Keep standing. Don't throw away your confidence. Be be the righteous one that lives by faith. Don't shrink back. Shrinking back means that you will be destroyed. But for those that have faith that moves forward, he said, I will save your soul. And if he saves your soul then, he will save your life now. I hear tears. More importantly, God hears tears. Let me remind you what the word says. God bottles those tears. They're important to him. If you're in this house today, I'm out of time. I want you, if you're in this house today and you need Jesus, this is your moment. I can't think of anything else that's more important. You've been shrinking back from the voice of God. You've been shrinking back and flinching at the commitment. You say, I don't know if I want to follow Jesus because he's going to have me stop, do this, and I can't hang out over here, and I don't know if I'm strong enough. I'm here to tell you, you are not strong enough to follow Jesus, but once Jesus comes into your life, he will give you his spirit. You will be strong enough. And don't worry about what you have to stop. Let's talk about what you get to start. And don't talk about what it's going to take you, who it's going to take you from. Can I just tell you that God's got relationships in front of you that are going to be the best ever. He just wants your yes, your heart, and your life today. Don't flinch. If you're ready to receive the Holy Ghost, don't flinch. Well, I don't want to speak in tongues. It's weird. No, it's powerful. Don't flinch. Don't flinch. The Holy Spirit is under attack in 2025. People saying you don't need to speak in tongues and you can't speak in tongues. And they talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. The fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are not in contention. They work together, just like faith and the Word and the Holy Spirit work together. If you want that gift, this is your moment. You want to be baptized, this is your moment. Addictions, let's have Jesus break them. Sickness, let's have Jesus heal them. Don't flinch. Someone very close to me, I don't have permission to share the testimony. Someone very close to me had another cancer report. But I've seen this person not flinch a dozen times in the face of those things. And I talked to them this week and they said, nope, they said I'm good. They don't need to see me for 6 months. There was no markers. There was nothing. Talk about not flinching. Your eternity depends on it. Your next depends on it. Your now depends on it. Don't flinch. I'm laying this microphone down. We'll add my faith. Let's worship.